Our righteous God in heaven, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for keeping us to today. Thank you for helping us in our families, in our individual lives. Thank you for making all things beautiful for us. It is not by power, it is not by might, but by your mercy, your love, and your grace upon us. Thank you, O Lord, for you've daily given us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We give you all honor, be exalted, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm praying, I'm asking, O God, that as we look into your word, to learn in your word, I pray, O God, that you will speak to our heart and speak to our lives in Jesus' name. Well, thank you, Father, for we know it is done. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. All right, once again, you're welcome. I want to thank God for us. I want to appreciate God for giving us an opportunity again to be able to sit in His presence and to be able to read the word, learn the word of God, read the word of God and apply it where appropriate in our lives. So today, on Family Essence, we are looking at a very important subject, a subject that is timely, a subject that is for all asunder, a subject that God Himself, you know, from time to time will make us sit to reflect and to take inventory of our lives and to be able to, you know, weigh some matters, you know, in our lives so as to be able to walk in full alignment with Him. So the subject before us is matters of bitterness, envy and strife. Matters of bitterness, envy and strife. Matters of bitterness, envy and strife. In so many things we offend, you know, or we interface with offenses every day. And it could be in the marketplace, it could be when you go to the grocery store, or when you are in the midst of a company or friends, or when you at a workplace, or may have to be this with something that has to do with our career and growth in the public office. It could be a matter of an interaction, or it could be a matter of family, whereas you are attempting to train your kids in the way they should grow, and so that when they grow up, they will not depart from the word that you know that is rooted in them. So in the matter of bitterness, envy, and strife has been in existence since ages. You will recall that in the book of Genesis, even since creation, the book of Genesis made us understand that when God created man, you know, He put man in the garden, and then the enemy came, the Satan came and all that. And you must have recount in the book of in the Bible as well, where the person of Lucifer was cast out of heaven, and the book of Isaiah spoke about it. The matter of envying and, you know, that Lucifer displayed in the heavens, and it was cast out with all his, those people would, all of his, the angels that rebelled against God. And then when it was cast down, he then decided to take on that responsibility of making sure that God's own children would replicate the same kind of bitterness, kind of envy and strife. And that has been a war since inception, from the time of, you know, the sons of Adam, Cain and Abel, and, you know, we look at the life of Esau and Jacob as well. We look at the life of even the perfect example, Jesus Christ, you know, when it came to deliver the message of the kingdom to us, the Pharisees determined to get rid of him. They decide to, no, this one is not, it's not, we don't know about where this one comes from. We don't know about this gospel. So therefore, they don't understand the move of God. And then they decide to get rid of him by getting rid of him. So, and then that example, so that has been, you know, the matter of bitterness and envy and strife has been in existence since ages. And one of the pioneers, a pioneer of that particular divide is Satan. He ensures that we take pride in being bitter against probably a neighbor, a colleague at work. He takes pride in letting us, trying to convince us that being envious or having a form of, you know, being sad at something that someone has, just an example, maybe someone bought a car and you feel, well, I can actually, you know, you're envious of that person's success or probably a promotion, and you feel, well, I can do better than this. Or probably you are seated and somebody is ministering on the podium in church and is singing. And say, what kind of voice is this? I can do better than this. And then, so we'll look at a few passages of scripture that talked about the matter of bitterness, envy, and strife. And we'll look at Christ as a perfect example and the responses, you know, that goes back and forth when matters of bitterness, envy, and strife happens at home, in the family, at work, almost everywhere, and even within a country. Those people will legislate, they don't legislate well. So therefore, the citizens have decided that they will be bitter, they will show bitterness, and then they take laws into their hands and they don't follow the laws of the land, and they begin to, you know, bring all the reasons on the table, on the reason why they had to go against the law, and then because those who legislate are not doing the right thing, and then things goes the way they are not supposed to go, and there is almost chaos in the society because of the disobedience of law and order. First, we'll look at the book of Matthew chapter 19. The book of Matthew chapter 19 in verse 7. Matthew chapter 19 in verse 7. Sorry about that. I think I missed my scripture there. One second. Let's look at Romans first. Romans, I think I missed my scripture there. Let's look at the book of Romans. Romans chapter 16. Okay, so the book of Romans chapter 16, another example is the life of Paul the Apostle, who was called off by Jesus Christ to spread the message of the gospel that he has set forth. And then at first, of course, many of Paul's messages and his visitation to different churches and all that, he was, you know, rejected. Several of his messages were rejected. And then in the book of Romans chapter, if you look at the book of Acts chapter 18, it tells us how, you know, Paul's message was rejected at Corinth, when he tried to, you know, preach to the Jews and the Gentiles, and, you know, they just rejected the message and all that, because of what he did in the past and who he was in the past. I mean, you can't just come and say you have the message of Jesus Christ for us when we know who you were, persecuting the church of God and causing havoc, putting people in prison, killing a lot of people and all that. And it was really a lot of chaos back then at the early church. And, you know, Romans chapter 16 and verse 17 to 19 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Now, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by God's word and fair speeches deceive the heart of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." So he's talking about, here Paul was trying to explain to the church in Rome, that those who cause division, you know, and then offenses and all, that stirs up bitterness in hearts, we should avoid them. That you're avoiding someone, that is like a prescription to a solution to how to manage bitterness, envy, and strife. Now, Paul the Apostle was able to, you know, explain to us that the only way you can avoid being bittered is to avoid those who stir up strife, envy, and all, and bitterness. It's very possible for you to be bitter against the decision of maybe your husband, maybe your wife, or maybe your friend or your brother. It is very possible because of their decision, which may directly or indirectly affect one. The decision that a child takes today would, of course, sometimes affect the parents, because the parents are there to be on the lookout and to offer godly counsel to the children. But when the child decides to go the other direction, it is not in our control. We can't control anyone, especially when someone has grown to a rightful to an age where they become an adult. They are no longer children. It's not in your control. You are not in control of their decisions again. If they decide, they can decide to, you know, go get something that is beyond their pay grade. If they decide, they can decide what they want. At the point when a child decides what he wants, you know, in terms of life-changing decisions, who to marry, you know, what job to take, what job not to take, you know, a life-changing decision, basically, or buying a house, or, you know, buying a land property and all that. There are some things that are life-changing decisions. And when a child has grown up to that level of, you know, making such decision or relocating to a different location, that person has become an adult and is no longer within the parent's control. The parent can only offer advice. If a man decide that he wants to go and acquire a property without the knowledge of his wife, he's an adult.
He's supposed to seek the knowledge of the wife and say, okay, what do you think about this decision? But if the person decides that that is what he wants to do, or I want to buy a new car. If you buy a new car, of course, it's going to affect the, it's going to one way or the other affect the spreadsheet of the family and, you know, the expenses and all that, in a way, basically. Even if you're earning more and you're okay, you can take care of, it's going to affect, it's going to affect the savings, it's going to affect some things that you have in plan in terms of retirements and, some other things. Those are life-changing decisions, right? So when it comes to that, we have no say in those matters. We have no say. It is better to keep quiet, as Paul recommended. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, simple, and simple concerning evil. He's saying that when someone takes decision, we have to look at them from the perspective of God. We coming to God, we being called to serve God, it's our personal decision. It's not because a group of a church decide, okay, everybody coming to this church, you have to be born again, you have to be saved before you. No, it's a personal choice. It's a personal decision. If someone decide to backslide today, or decide not to serve our Lord Jesus, or decide not to, you know, serve God again, is his personal choice, is his personal decision. Going to heaven is a personal choice. You can't be bitter against someone who backslide, or someone who brought you in the faith and the person left the faith. You can't be bitter. You can't be bitter against, it's not your choice. You are not in control of what another person does, or what they do, as the case is. You are not in control. A pastor cannot control the attitude and behavior of his member. What he's called to do is to deliver the word, the counsel of God, to his congregation. When you see somebody who begins to shout at the member, you know, do all sorts of things and all that, that is not the right thing to do. You can only encourage, persuade, you know, like Paul the Apostle said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord will persuade men. You can't convince, you can't force somebody to give their life to Christ. No. Those are life-changing decisions. Anything that has to do with that, you have no control over it. So Paul is saying that it's good to apply, it's good to, you know, to try to avoid those kind of evil, because if you don't avoid it and then you try to take on the person who has committed this, who is tearing up strife, who is tearing over, there will be division, there will be chaos that you yourself you won't even know what to, you will be confused on how to handle those matters. So he's saying that it's good to be simple, it's good to be to maintain good rather than join the person to continue to fight and to continue to, you know, be bitter and all that. Of course, people's decision will affect our lives. You know, the decision that the management makes at the top level of a company would affect the employees in one way or the other. It's going to affect the employees. It's going to affect how they work. It's going to affect the work order. It's going to affect the modality of things and how things should go in the company. So, likewise, the decision that one person makes in the family is going to affect everyone in the family. It's definitely going to affect the wife. It's going to affect the children. It's going to affect maybe someone. Maybe you have even established, you've spent 7 years somewhere, and then the person saw a particular job somewhere online and he said, I must apply for this job, but it's in a different town. So that's just a life-changing experience. And without communicating, you just said, okay, I've accepted this offer, I've resigned at my present job. And then there is, when the news breaks out, the wife is bittered. Why did he take this decision? This and this and that and that. And, you know, there is issue, there is. So Paul is saying that we should be simple about it. We should dialogue about it. And then, of course, if there is someone who is always tearing up bitterness, causing envy and, you know, strife amongst the brethren, is saying that kind of person, just leave the person aside. Don't even just let the person be. There is no need to want to change that person, and there is no need to want to try to change people. You can't change anybody. You can't change people's decision and all. So the life of Christ actually talked about how, you know, how the Pharisees tried to, you know, get rid of him. One of the things Christ faced during his earthly campaign about the gospel that is being sent to deliver to us, or this generation, he faced betrayal, you know, he faced a lot of things, which is, of course, we can't control how people treat us. But then these things happens that you are in a company of friends, and then someone now decide he's going to betray you. Or maybe you're in a relationship, or maybe something just happened, and then the person says, I don't want this. And when you have been planning, so imagine someone wants to get married, and then wedding night, he still went out to, you know, take the spouse out, and then they went to a restaurant, dialogue, chat, talk about their family, and then over the night, maybe something happened, and then they decide that he's not going to proceed with the marriage again. That is something that will stir up bitterness. Immediately, you will be bittered against this person. Now, why didn't you tell me 4 months ago? You didn't tell me 1 year ago. You didn't tell me 9 months ago. It's just one night, and then the whole thing changed. If Jesus Christ was able to forgive everyone that offends him, even though they are trying to kill him, and is aware that they are looking for his death, not his progress, his death. From start to finish, this one must get rid of this person. So if he was able to forgive them, even till he get to the cross, who are we? Who are we? More often than not, some people have offended us, or the decision they make in our family have affected our lives. But God is telling us today that we should look at them from his own perspective. These are God's creation. Do you want them to die? Or you don't want the person to progress? If God is so concerned about the soul of men, about the soul of men, he wouldn't have sent Jesus Christ. He would not even have bothered. But because of how important we are in him, he has deemed it fit to send Jesus Christ to us to teach us the way of the kingdom and how to embrace love as a way of getting rid of bitterness, envy, and strife. Love is the medicine. Is something you will need all the time to heal from bitterness, envy, and strife. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they are doing. They don't know. Because if they know, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They would not have put me on this cross. They would not have decided to kill me. They would not have thought about taking me to the top of the cliff and then so that I would use my head to hit the floor and then throw me down. They wouldn't have been thinking about that. So, matter of bitterness, envy, and strife will keep reoccurring until we leave the flesh. It will keep reoccurring. The husband will offend the wife will offend the husband, the children will offend the parents, and then all these things will keep on happening until the person who is tearing up this thing gives his or life or her life to Christ and knows how to treat
the other person in the group.
So you don't expect something quite golden, really, to come out of a life that has not been crucified, a life that doesn't even know Christ. You don't expect much. No, you don't expect. So our expectation, God's expectation for us, every day we leave, we wake up, we go to our offices, we go to our public space, we chat in the family and all that. God's expectation is for us to look at His creature or His creation from His own perspective, not from our own lens. If you are looking at people from our own lens, you would have we would have killed a lot of people, would have gotten rid of a lot of people. Like we would have, but the love of God has constrained us to a level that we, even though the ability to commit, to do evil, to be violent, and but that love has constrained us. There's a constraining element that comes with the love of God. You see somebody who say, "I love you," and the person is still bitter against you. That's not love. That's not God's love. God's love will constrain you to a level. You are not capable of evil. Again, you are not capable of doing bad to someone. You are not capable of being bitter against someone. Because that particular person who used to be bitter has been overtaken. The love of God has constrained that individual, that the person doesn't have the ability to exhibit or to the trait of bitterness, envy, and strife has been taken away. And that's what the cross does. That's the purpose of Jesus dying for us, so that we can be constrained and look at people from the perspective of God, and we can deploy love, we can deploy, you know, things that edifies. We can deploy grace. We can deploy so many things that would make us our walk with God easy. The book of James chapter 3. The book of James chapter 3 in verse 16. It says there, "For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." For where envy and strife is, there is confusion. There is a state of confusion. So what can I do? So what should I do? And there is every evil work. The person will always be thinking about, okay, how can I get ahead of this person? How can I? That's why in offices, those who work in companies and all that, that's why when there is a promotion, you know, there are some people that if you don't go and appeal to them, you cannot get a promotion. If you don't buy them something, if you don't take them out, if you don't, you know, if you don't do things, evil will keep. You know, I remember when, you know, there's a lot of things that happen in public offices. So my dad, before he retired, worked in a public office, and, you know, his work has to do with enforcement. And, you know, he used to tell us stories about promotion, how promotion is being done in the public office. Sometimes, most of the time, it's not on merits. It's on who you know and all that. And there may be three people, you know, that are due for a promotion, for a position. Maybe it's what just one position. And then this person will go to an herbalist. I mean, someone who believe in evil powers and all that. And then he goes there, gets something from there, and then put on the other person's table, and all kinds of things, and before you wake up the next day, you've heard that this person that was the senior, this is past, is deceased, and then so many evil, it will keep stirring up evil. So what James is telling us here is that where you find envy, you immediately you apply love, because if you don't apply love, the love of Christ is in you. So you need to apply it. If you don't apply it, the first thing that happens is confusion. Then before you know it, there are a lot of noises tearing up on your mind. There are a lot of, okay, what can I do? What should be the next step? Okay, can I do this? Can I? You are strategizing. Those are noises in the hearts of a man. But when you kill it with love, and when you look at the matter from the perspective of God, it's easier for you to quench that noise, to stop the noise from extending to being evil. Because when somebody attained a position in a company, or maybe the husband is, or the wife, maybe the husband, the wife is getting promotions at work, and the husband is not, she is just at his job, he's just there 5 years, 4 years, 6 years, he's still where he is, but the wife is getting, you know, promotion, getting different kind of things, you know, and all that. If care is not taken, there will be noises. The confusion here means noises. In this passage of scripture, it means noises. So there are so many things going on in your mind. How can, she's the only one, you know, just so many things, getting bonuses at work, and I'm just here, nothing. It's just salary. It's just this. It's just, you know, those noises are to stir up evil. So the enemy will just say, do this one. That's why you see some people, they just say, I don't want you to walk again. Go and sit down at home. They will tell the wife, I don't want you to walk again. Go and sit down at home. Not because the person is sitting down at home to take care of kids or something like, no. That's not, it's just envy. That's the thing. So he's saying that where envy and strife is, there are noises that stirs up. Those noises are tending towards evil work if you don't apply the love of God and you don't see the person from the perspective of God. So that is what our passage means. And we look at the life of Jesus Christ. We look at the life of Paul the Apostle. We look at the life of the patriarchs. We look at, you know, how this whole thing started from Lucifer, who rebelled against God, because he was envious of the position of God. So he wasn't seeing himself as being being responsible to ensure that the kingdom functions properly and to make sure that the regulations of God are done the right way. He's not seeing things going on smoothly. Really, what does it matter? If you really ask yourself, God has been good to you. God has been faithful to you. He has made provisions for you. You have your own car. You have your own house. Then all of a sudden, you start looking at the places you are not supposed to be looking at. You start mingling or working with people that you are not supposed to be working with. And then they start telling you, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Why don't you do this? Why don't you? Little suggestions like that. You know, the Bible talks about not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, and standing in the way of sinners, and sitting in the seat of the scornful. And, you know, the delight should be in the law of the Lord, because in that law, you always meditate on it day and night. And that law will always constrain you to want to bring about thinking, thoughts about evil and all that. So the originator, or the pioneer of bitterness, envy, and strife, is Satan. And then when Satan comes, he's subtle in his ways, and he applies the first thing. If it doesn't work, he applies another thing. If it doesn't work, he deploys his troop. You know, if it doesn't work, he put things in the air so that he can sniff it and then begin to act, you know, the negative ways and all that. And so, and then those things are brings about evil. And evil doesn't end. Once there's one evil, another evil will want to come again, another evil again, another evil again, another evil. So if you have not been able to overcome evil with good or apply the love of God in every situation, it is very hard for you to overcome the matters of bitterness, envy, and strife. If the love of God does not constrain you, and you are still within thinking, 2 years, you are still thinking about it, 3 years, you are still thinking about it, 4 years, you are still on that matter. If you don't take your heart to God and say, God, please, I want you to admit me in your ICU so that you can treat that wound, that thing. I know I'm heartbroken, but please, can you mend this thing for me? Can you mend this thing for me? Can you mend this thing for me? And then God will see your sincerity and he begins to apply the right medication, the right things to make sure that wound gets healed. Because if as long as that wound remains, it will keep stirring up confusion and noises. And then before you know it now, evil will start creeping in little by little. Evil will start creeping in little by little. So, in order for us to be able to overcome this, even though we are hurt, even though we are battered, even though we are disappointed in people's decision that has directly or indirectly affected our lives, the Bible says that overcoming evil with good, overcoming evil with good, overcoming bad with good, overcoming. So it is the love of God that matters. So are you going to hate God's own creation? Are you going to hate who God formed, who God made to fulfill a purpose on earth? Are you going to continue to hate this person? More often than not, these matters are weightier matters that, you know, that get to, you know, we sweep them on the carpet and then we continue with our lives thinking that everything is good. And when something comes from that quarters, then you discover that you are bittered again because it has not been dealt with. It has not been dealt with. So that matter needs to be taken care of first, because your goal on earth is to make heaven at the end. So if you are bittered about something and you can bring all your evidences and you can put them on the table and then put them on a list of 10. Okay, this person did this so in 2002. This person did this so in 2000. So you can bring all your evidences. But God is saying that nothing that offends will enter into this kingdom. So if you walk in that consciousness, knowing who God is, that he means what he says, when he says nothing that offends will enter into my kingdom, if you walk in that consciousness, you will discover that even God himself loves his own creation. Even God himself, he loves his own creation. And there are things that we ourselves have done in the past that warrants sudden judgment. But God in his infinite mercy has extended his grace to our life, to us, towards us, through the Lord Jesus to make us see reasons why we should embrace love. Paul the Apostle talks about love, you know, love covers multitude of sin. Love is the end of the law. The end of the law is love. If you speak in tongues, you prophesy, you express, you have gifts of the Spirit, you can discern, you can do miracles, you can create one, you can do different kind of miracles, different kind of, you have the gift of knowledge, wisdom, you can do all sort of things, and love is missing. You are nothing. In fact, that kind of person, if he doesn't, he will, he's a fire. There's no. So, but the apostle really gave us an insight to how broad the love of God is. If the love of God is not shed abroad in our hearts, there is no way we can please God. Even though if we sleep down, pray to God, fast, pray, God will just, no answer. So, love covers multitude of sin. So, the only way to get over bitterness, envy, and strife is to infuse love in those serious matters that has taken us apart, away from God, a very long time, over a decade. Some are still struggling with forgiving their younger brother, forgiving their older ones. Parent is finding it hard to forgive his or her children. You know, the parents are, you know, is just, you know, I was speaking to someone recently, and then the parent said, I was so disappointed in my son recently, you know, and he brought all the matters to the table, trying to, I told him, I said, it's, you have legitimate reasons to be offended at the decision or the life that your son is living. You have all, it's legitimate for you to be bittered, for you to be, oh, this is sad, and you are bittered within you. This decision that this boy has taken is going to end in destruction. You are angry. You don't want to pick his call. You don't even want to talk to him, which is okay, right? Because if you have not dealt with that thing and you are picking the person's call, you'll be more angry. But what God is saying, that embrace love. As time goes on, you will see that love that you have for that person, looking at the person from the perspective of God, not from your perspective, from your own perspective, is killing, is destruction. From your own perspective, if you say, if you look at the person, for who the person, not from the perspective of God, is you want to get rid of that person. You want to get rid of that friend. This one, I don't want this person. I don't even want to see this person living on earth. I don't want to. That's your own perspective. But if you look at from the past, what is God? How would God judge this matter? That's the thing. If we look at things from our own perspective, we will not be able to apply love. But if we look at the matters that are on the table concerning this individual, or concerning what has been done to us, justly or unjustly, you know, love will cover multitude of sins. Love is the end of the law. So anything outside of love is not God. That is the summary. Anything we do outside of the love of Christ is not God, is not godly. So I want us to have a rethink of our lives and take inventory of those matters that have been causing bitterness in us, envy in us, strife in us, and then their contention, their noises over the years. 5 years has passed, we are still not seeing those things. 2 years has gone, you know, we are still thinking, how can I let go of this thing? What this person did to me? And then we bring all the evidences on the table. And then at the end of the day, God is saying that if you want to come into my kingdom, you have to love your neighbor as yourself. You have to love your brother as yourself. You have to. That is the only way we can break away, you know, from the act of, you know, matters of bitterness, envy, and strife. And I pray that as we begin to take inventory, begin to look at our lives, begin to look at those things that has held us captive in terms of
being bittered, in terms of being envious, in terms of striving towards things that are not really edifying, God will begin to help us to apply love in those areas. And as we apply love in those areas, we will see that working with God becomes easier. Loving becomes easier. Seeing the person as God's own creation becomes easier. Seeing the person as someone who God created to fulfill a purpose on earth becomes easier. And then we begin to apply those love. We begin to apply the love. We begin to apply love in those matters. And I pray that God will help us to overcome matters of bitterness, envy, and strife in Jesus' name. We close our eyes as we pray to God and as we ask God for forgiveness. As many that are bittered against things that are, you know, you have legitimate reasons to be bittered against those things in your career, in your office, in your business place, in your family, in your amidst your friends, amongst your friends and all that, you have all your evidences and all that. We are going to pray that God will teach us how to love through His Holy Spirit, that will begin to apply love, that God help me to apply love in this area. Help me to, so you begin to mention those areas from the bottom of, from your heart. You begin to ask God that, God help me to apply love. Love, 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 regardless of whatever matter is at hand. For the past 2 years, for the past 1 year, for the past 1 month, God help me to apply love. Help me to love. Teach me to love. Teach me to love. As we pray this prayer sincerely, God will help us to understand how to love and what to do in matters like this. And I pray that the Lord God Almighty will help us in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Our righteous God in heaven, the Father of our Lord Jesus, we thank you for today. We bless your name. We thank you for your word that has come to us today. Thank you for this timely message considering the matters of bitterness, envy, and strife. I pray that as many that are held bound in bitterness, envy, and strife, I pray that those chains be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that those chains be broken in the name of Jesus. Chains of bitterness, envy, and strife that has held them captives for decades. Chains of bitterness, envy, and strife that has held them captives for years. Lord, I pray that those chains be broken right now in Jesus' name. I command a release upon their hearts. I command a release of your love to penetrate their life, to infuse life in them through your love that you've shed abroad towards us, your creation, in Jesus' name. I pray, oh God, that you will teach us how to love in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for anointing this time. Jesus' name we pray. Amen.